After a couple of hours of beautiful fellowship, we're blessed with this opportunity to gather and to worship our Lord. We're thankful that we have Elder Brother Mark Egish from the Vista congregation, and he has agreed to serve this afternoon. And our serving elder, Brother Bob Varga from Beverly Hills, will assist with the prayer and the benediction. So let's support the brothers in prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we approach thy throne of grace again in worship in this day for a second time, coming together and ready to open thy living and holy word. Father, as we open thy word, we pray that thou wilt help each one of us to open our hearts, that we would be able to receive the things that are written in thy scriptures. Lord, in times like these, we do not need the wisdom of man or even the experience of man. What we need much more is the word of truth, the word of life. So, dear Heavenly Father, with sincerity and we petition thee, O Lord, that thou wouldst be present with us and speak to us through thy word. Use this unprofitable servant to glorify thyself. We ask and pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remain with the scripture that's open. It's found in the New Testament, Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter number 2. If you wish to follow with me, I'd like to read from 2 Timothy, chapter number 2.
Nađenaje druga poslanica Timotiju, druga glava.
Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This is the loved ones, it certainly is a blessing to be here, and blessing to be present also for a wedding service this morning, as we were reminded from the Word of God of the holy estate of matrimony, what the Scripture teaches of that. And I'm thankful for the teaching that we heard, and I also want to say that I only had perhaps one thought in my heart this afternoon, but I trust in the Lord and rely upon your prayers for support. That was to speak to the singles this afternoon. This morning, the message was not only for those that are married, but it maybe spoke especially to those that are married or those who desire. But it's on my heart to speak to those that are single, but I should qualify that. When we say single, we don't mean that it's only for those that are single, because God's word speaks to everyone, every time. If we have a hunger and a thirst in our heart and our soul when we listen to God's word being preached, even if the message is directed in a certain area, to a certain topic, we can always benefit and be blessed by the message if we are hungry and thirsty for the word of God. So when I say that I have it on my heart to speak to the singles, I'm not suggesting it's only going to be applicable to those that are single. And the second thing perhaps I would like to qualify is that when I say it's on my heart to speak to those that are single, I'm not referring to those that are young. Many that are young are single, but not only the young are single. There are those that are middle-aged and those that are older that are single as well too. People are single for lots of reasons, not just because they're young. Some are widows or widowers. Their marriages did not last, and so they're single. But it's on my heart to speak to those that are single in particular. But again, God's word, I believe, can speak to every one of us. The scripture opened up this afternoon here to Paul's second letter to Timothy. And there were many things found here in these 26 verses that we have read together. But if there is one verse that I would wish to bring to our attention, it's found in the 21st verse. I'd like to reread that. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he uses this analogy that in a great house, there are vessels of gold and of silver and earthen vessels and wooden vessels. And then he goes on to say, not only vessels of different material, but vessels to different purposes. There are vessels to honor and vessels to dishonor. And based upon that, he goes on to say in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these things that were mentioned earlier in the chapter, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, as the brother is praying for this, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That certainly is my prayer for myself, for my family, for everyone who that is here, and married or single, young or old. But again, it's this verse here that I think seems to capture so much of what the Lord has placed in my heart. We wish to be a vessel unto honor, one that is sanctified, one that is prepared, one that is ready to be used, and God can use to the glory, to his own glory, meet for the master's use. It's not a vessel that the master, when he's looking for something to use, that he says, oh, this one's not ready to be used for whatever reason, and he has to go find another one. But it's the vessel that the Lord will choose because he sees that it's ready for his use. And not only it's ready as far as being clean and so forth, but it's prepared unto every good work. So again, I come back that it's on my heart to speak to those that are single. Scriptures give us wonderful examples of believers that were single and very much dedicated to the Lord in serving him. And I think as we read from we think of some of these examples, I pray they would inspire us. But maybe before we would even begin with some of those examples, it would be helpful to remind ourselves that when we speak of singleness, and again, singleness includes the young, but it's not limited to the young. Young, middle age, old, people are single for many different reasons in life. But when we speak of those that are single, I would encourage those that are single not to think in terms of yourself as if you're somehow incomplete. And if one day you are married, then you would be complete. Well, that is normal, natural in our culture, in our society. This is true. But in Christ, we need to view this a little bit differently. I think we need to view this from the scriptural perspective, and that we have been called to serve the Lord. And whether we are old or young, married or single, male or female, the Bible says there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. We all have been baptized into Christ Jesus. Those who belong to his family, we are his children. And this is what our primary identity is, to be a child of God, whether son or daughter. So I encourage us not to think in those terms, though in an earthly sense, it's natural for us to think in those terms. But in a Christian sense, in a Bible sense, I just encourage us to think in terms of what the scripture actually teaches here. As we would not be able, I would not be able to go over all these verses here in the time allotted, but some of the verses that stand out in this chapter, as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who was younger than him, he calls him my son. So a term of endearment, I believe, there, showing the love that the apostle had for this brother Timothy. He encourages him to be strong in the Lord and the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he gives him instructions. And he says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we certainly live in a time where those who follow the Lord Jesus must endure hardness. And I think that in the conversations that we have with one another, especially over the past year and a half, 2 years, during this time of this pandemic and so forth, I think that there have been many conversations among us about how life has been altered in one way or the other, and how it's become, in some sense, uncomfortable, and there have been decisions that have been made in higher levels, and it has made, actually, life at times not only uncomfortable or difficult and challenging, but has been very divisive. Very divisive. Not just divisive in the sense of maybe what our parents and grandparents may have endured in the old country, where you knew that if you were a young brother, a young man, and you gave your life to the Lord, that meant you were going to be asked to swear an oath. You're going to be asked to bear a weapon. And that treatment that you would receive as a non-resistant child of God meant that you would suffer. And so you had the church, the faithful, suffering in the little corner by themselves, as it were, and the rest of society not understanding them, and they just went on to live their life. But you see that what's happened to us today is not quite that way. It doesn't fall out that way, that the faithful suffer in a corner, in a sense, and then the rest. But it's like this confusion and this division is just slicing in every direction. And it's so unhealthy, and it's so destabilizing to society. And so important that we as the Church of Jesus Christ do not allow that to destabilize us as well. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Easy to talk about, but not so easy to experience. Think of Joseph. Joseph, the man of God. What a tremendous example this son of Jacob was. Joseph, what could we say about Joseph? The favored son. But he was hated by his brothers. What a position to be in. His father loved him. Perhaps his father showed his love for Joseph a little bit too much to make his siblings jealous, Joseph's siblings. You know that you're familiar with the account, I'm sure. But here he was, very gifted, very capable. God's hand was on Joseph. He had a plan and a purpose for Joseph. And yet Joseph was hated by his brothers to the extent that they sold him as a slave. Sold him as a slave. Just think, what does this do to your view of your life? This is what my family does to me. They sell me as a slave. I go into Egypt. My father that I love, my father who's so close to me and I to him, will I ever see him again? Therefore, endure hardship. I believe he was a single man at this time of his life, sold into slavery. And you could think, at this point in his life, it could only go down from here. Like, what a tremendous disadvantage he would have. And you know, as we look at the life of Joseph, we see how it was providential. God worked. God moved. God arranged things. Joseph found himself in the house of Potiphar, an officer in Pharaoh's cabinet. Joseph found himself working for a man who was of great position in the nation of Egypt, of ancient Egypt. And through his diligence, through his hard work, through all that, correct? Yes, but actually more than that. It was a blessing of God on Joseph's life, a faithful Israelite who didn't forget his God. It was God's blessing on his life that brought him into favor with Potiphar. And so it almost seems like a beautiful story of success, because here we have a young man who went from a very privileged position of being favored by his father. And yet his life, it seems like it dropped out, the floor dropped out from beneath him. He ends up being a slave, sold as chattel. This is the situation. What would we have in our heart towards our brothers and sisters at that moment, at that junction in our life, should we ever experience, God forbid, something that drastic? And yet you see, as he goes through that, and then the Bible says that God arranges for him to come into the house of Potiphar. And then he begins to find his way upward. And he's so faithful in all that he does. And God's hand of blessing is over him. He comes to this position in Potiphar's house that Joseph says, my master doesn't know anything in the house except for the food that he eats, because he has entrusted everything to me. What a tremendous story of, if you will, of success coming out of adversity. But it was only beginning. Because the Bible tells us that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him. Proverbs tells us, men, that we should not let certain women take us with their eyes. Solomon tells us this, and he would know something about that. But this is what happened with Potiphar's wife. And he comes into this situation. He's accused falsely. He knows it's not true. And yet, what do you do in life when people misrepresent your intentions? What do you do in life when people misunderstand your motives and they assigned motives to you that you're not even in a position to be able to defend yourself? Joseph was quiet. What could he say? Potiphar was raging. He felt that what this servant had done, I had privileged this Hebrew boy to such an extent, and he would try to make a move on my wife. This was it. The Bible, it says in Psalms, they hurt his feet. He was put in fetters of iron. So Joseph was for 2 years in prison, and it wasn't just a holding cell. He was suffering in prison. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. Young man, single man. You have a lot of time to think, I suppose, in prison. He could have thought about his life, thought about his father. His mother had already passed on. He could have become very bitter. Loved ones, I want to encourage our brothers and sisters that are single, young, middle-aged, or old, endure hardness for the Lord Jesus. Endure hardness. We are living in times where we would agree that it becomes hard, relatively speaking, to what we're used to. But that's maybe because we become so used to a comfortable life. I know, I get it. There many times we do have hardships in life. There are trials in life. People go through difficult things. I'm not going to take away from that for a moment. But relatively speaking to the rest of the world, we have a lot of first world problems. The people in other parts of this world can only think about, but not experience. Endure hardness. Loved ones, I almost feel that in some ways we complain or we note that people that are young seem to have this sense of entitlement. I've shared this before. Has a sense of entitlement like the world owes them something. But do we sometimes as believers, and I don't say this as a judge, but I just ask a question, and I ask it first to myself. Do we have a sense of entitlement? Do we think that because we live here in this country, that we are believers, that we're going to just experience such blessings in our life, and things will go so well, and it's just going to be so good? Maybe we have a sense of entitlement too, thinking that suffering won't really come to us. Endure hardness. Loved ones, if we are to follow the Lord Jesus, we must endure hardness. And perhaps the past year or two is only a warm-up for what's to come. And if you look at Matthew chapter 24, if you take some time to read of what the Scripture tells us will happen, we must be ready to endure hardness. Joseph found himself 2 years there in prison. His hopes were lifted when he interpreted some dreams. His hopes were dashed when they forgot to give him credit later on when those two men who he helped get out of the prison, he gave them a prophecy and so forth. Anyways, the time came in Joseph's life. I don't want to rehearse the entire life, but the time came in Joseph's life when he now was in a position of power. He now was not only out of prison, not only far beyond restored to Potiphar's house, he was now ruling Egypt. He was ruling Egypt. And when the day came that his brothers stood before him and he revealed himself to his brothers and they were afraid for their lives because Joseph was in the perfect opportunity to take revenge. And Joseph says, "Don't be angry with yourselves. God sent me before you." You see, it's not only that he endured hard things, but he kept his faith in the Lord Jesus while enduring hard things. And dear brothers and sisters, and again, I speak to the singles, but I speak to all of us. It is not only going through hardship, but keeping our faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, a man in that situation could be so bitter. Many have grown much bitter for less. But he did not grow bitter. You see the gentleness, you see the love in Joseph. God sent me before you. He could have dwelled on the fact that you sold me to the heathen. What did you expect was going to happen to my life? They have no mercy. He didn't dwell on that. He said, God sent me before you. He could look back on his life, look at the hardness that he had endured and say, God's hand was over me the whole time. Loved ones, I just want to encourage that we endure hardness as the children of God. Notice also in the scripture, the apostle is writing And here in the 15th and 16th verses, I want to join them together. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God," a well-known verse, "a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But, and I'd like to make sure these two verses are joined together, "but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And that reminds me of verse 23. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives." Often I heard the discussion or the point being discussed that, well, you know, those that are of an older generation, they when you told them to jump, they would say how high, because they learned just to be obedient. They didn't learn to question things. And then the conversation goes on, the discussion says, but the younger generation, they learned, they were taught in school to ask questions, and they were taught to be inquisitive and to inquire and just not take what everybody anybody says to you. All true. However, we cannot overlook this scripture as well. And I think this scripture is written for 2021. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. You know, we are so, we can be so engaged with all the dialogue that happens back and forth, even in this nation, through electronic means. We read the media, we are informed, probably like no other generation before us. We can be so informed of all that's taking place. But you know, there are things that the Bible says are foolish questions. There's a big difference between asking a question because I want to know why, I want to understand, to ask it with the right attitude of heart. And then there are questions that are provocative. There are questions that are actually a pushback. There are questions that are rhetorical on purpose because they're really more of a statement than they are actually a desire to understand. Questions coming out of the right heart. He says, those that worship the Lord out of a pure heart. That's one thing, and that's acceptable, and that's normal, and that's healthy, and that's right, and that's good. But there are foolish questions. There are unlearned questions. There are profane and vain babblings that we hear all the time. And the more, and I would think the past year or two, and I speak first to myself, and I would confess this, I found I became too involved with what comes next. When all this started unfolding and we heard about Wuhan for the first time of our lives, and we began to wonder, okay, what's happening next, and so on and so forth. And to a degree, that's responsible on our part to understand what's happening. That's responsibility. But it goes to an extreme. It can go to the extreme very easily and very quickly. And we get ourselves caught up in a lot of the discussions and the debates that take place. And is it profitable? That's the question. Is it profitable? To learn and to understand is profitable. That's, again, responsibility. But just to become preoccupied with discussions and debates and the latest news feed because it's just the latest thing that we heard and so we have to talk about it, I hope you understand me. I'm not against being informed. But the Bible says we must avoid foolish and unlearned questions. There are babblings that may sound very intellectual and very intelligent to this world, but to the Spirit of God, he says it is a babble. It is a noise. It doesn't edify. It doesn't profit. It does you no good. And loved ones, again, as I speak to the singles this afternoon, young, middle-aged, and old, and to all of us, but I encourage you, do not allow yourselves to be wrapped up and caught up with a babbling of this world. It does no good. It does no good. This is why I want to connect verses 15 and 16. This is why I feel the Spirit of God wrote it that way. He says, study the Word of God. Know it. Divide it. Discern it. Be a workman that rightly divides the Word of truth. How important that is. We have too many that cannot rightly divide the Word of truth. Peter prophesied this in 2 Peter chapter 3, as he comes to the end of his beautiful epistle, he speaks about our beloved brother Paul, who has been gifted by the Spirit to write things that are even hard to understand. He says, and those that are unlearned and unstable will wrestle these scriptures unto their own destruction. Note that. Unlearned, unstable. Different things, but both important to take note of. He's telling us to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And yet the Apostle Peter says, there are some that are unlearned. So that's a little bit easier to understand. Those that aren't learned in the scripture, they jump to wrong conclusions, they read quickly, or it reminds me of myself when I was younger. I had a lot I wanted to say, because I ended up probably repeating a lot of what I heard. And if I repeated something that was good, that was good. But if I just repeated something because it really got my attention, and I didn't study to see if it was so, that wasn't good. But you know, there's a lot of zeal there in youth and so forth. But he says, those that are unlearned in the scripture, they can wrestle the scriptures to their own destruction. It's actually very serious. It's not just a matter of an inconvenience, or you deal with somebody who just, you have to try to convince them with the word of God and so forth. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Those that are unlearned, it can be more than just a conversation problem. And then he goes on to say, and those that are unstable. You know, there can be those that are very learned, but yet not stable. Loved ones, we want to be both. We want to be learned in the scripture. We want to be stable. And it's true, I believe, from the scriptures, some will be gifted. I believe some of you will be gifted with more knowledge than some of us in understanding the scripture, being more learned in the scripture. But to whatever degree we are learned in the scripture, do we bear the equal amount of fruit? Is our obedience matching our knowledge? Because if we are learned, and that's where it's at, that's very impressive to this world today, is it not? We're impressed with eloquence. We're impressed with those that are smart, those that are knowledgeable, those that are wise in an earthly sense. We look to them for guidance and so forth. There's a place for that in an earthly setting. But those that are unlearned and unstable, and I just want to put it on the hearts of our single brothers and sisters to be stable in Christ, to be stable. What does it mean to be stable? What does it mean to be unstable? Those that are not stable, we can think of many pictures or analogies and so forth, but you know, they move with the wind, because when the wind blows, they're not well anchored, they're not securely fastened. And so when the wind blows, they can move with that. And some move quite a bit. You see, it's not just those that are unlearned, but even those that are unstable in their lives, that will be zealous for the scripture in a sense, but they will wrestle the scriptures to their own destruction. And so when we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show yourself approved to God, and study for this reason, and study this, but shun this. It's so important for us, and it's a call. And again, it's on my heart to speak to those that are single, though it's equally applicable to those of us who are married. The scripture goes on to say, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Another encouragement for our single brothers and sisters. Flee the lust and the earthly, the carnal temptations. Flee this, follow that. When I think of this, I'm reminded of another single person in the scripture. Her name was Ruth. Ruth was of a Moabite. I think descended from Lot, I believe. But they were not of the seed of Israel. They were not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's lineage, the Moabites. And yet when this Jewish man went with his father and his brother, and they went, they married Moabite women of Moab. Ruth chapter 1, you're familiar with this. Then we come to that verse that is a very beautiful verse. I'd like to read it. And this is when after this is after Naomi's husband and her two sons pass away. They die there in the land where they lived. And now she is grieving. She's in bereavement, Naomi. And she sees it's time to move on. And her daughters-in-law are young. And so she wants to encourage them to go on with their life and not just to feel somehow beholden to her some reason. And so we come to that beautiful verse when the one daughter kisses her mother-in-law goodbye. And Ruth, it says, she clave unto her mother-in-law. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but debt part me from thee." And we refer to this verse at a wedding ceremony because we want to bring out what's a beautiful sentiment of devotion. But this beautiful sentiment of devotion was spoken by a single woman, not a married woman. A single woman who is devoted to help her mother-in-law. That's beautiful. This devotion shows to us the devotion in her heart that she had to her husband's God also. It reflects. You see that the faith of her father-in-law and her mother-in-law and of her husband and brother-in-law must have somehow, she came to know something about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we read about flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You look at the example of Ruth, a single woman, and you might say, okay, but in the end she gets married. That might be true, but that's not the point here of the story or the point I wish to emphasize to us. The point is that as a single woman, she was devoted to God, and she did things honestly. She did things out of a charity in her heart, and she was intent on serving God in the way that she could. Did she have to endure hardness? She kept herself. I'm sure she was probably a beautiful young woman. And yet, her husband-to-be said, "I give in charge to the men that they don't bother you during the harvest." She kept herself. She was careful how she lived her life. I think an example of virtue. And yet, you know, this is, again, an area for our single brothers and sisters, that we keep ourselves as an example. When the Bible says, when Paul writes his first letter to Timothy, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." The key, and this is saying to youth, but I say to singles, the key to not being despised is to be an example. When we are an example, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, when it gives us a list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No one will deny, no one will turn back, no one will despise the virtuous. Okay, some will, those that are very ungodly in their heart. But as a general maxim, the Apostle Paul says, against such there is no law. And so when our life pleases the Lord, when we bring forth fruit unto the Lord, because herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And when our life is such, then our life glorifies God. And that's not despised. Unfortunately, too often when we are single, we think that we have to gain attention. We have to get somehow admiration from others. And we will go to great lengths at times, we can be at least tempted to, in order to obtain that sense of acceptance from somebody else, that I'm valuable to somebody. I don't have a spouse to reaffirm me and validate me, so I want to get that validation from somebody. But loved ones, the validation that we need in our life doesn't change once we get married. Though it's a blessing to have a spouse who supports us, and what a blessing that is. But the validation we need is from God Himself. Have you considered my servant Job? He endured hard things, and Satan took him up on that and tried to disprove him. But in the end, God was true, and what God said about his servant Job came true. I just want to pour out my heart this afternoon and really encourage our single brothers and sisters. Again, I say, I'm not speaking to the youth this afternoon when I say that, though many who are young are single, but to those that are single, to be an example of the believers. One of the, in over the years, talking to many people and their experiences in life, and those who struggle in their faith, and those who find themselves in situations that they wish they never were in, spiritually speaking. If there was a common denominator, if there was, I would hazard to say it was something like this. They were not busy about their father's business. Sometimes when we are young, I've heard this, I think, all of my converted life, this sense that when we're getting ready for baptism, the ministering brothers, the elder brothers take so much time for us. They counsel us, they teach us, they educate us spiritually. They prepare us, not just for the Saturday night of proving and so forth, but also for a life of Christian faith. But it seems like, I've heard this all through my life, it seems like afterwards, after the baptism, almost seems like we're a little bit forgotten about because the brothers now become busy with the next set of people that are getting ready for baptism. Sometimes some feel that way after they're baptized, that like, we got baptized and now what's next? I don't know what to do next. And if I'm not given a position in the church, I just don't know. I just come and so forth. Yes, taking care of the responsibilities that come before us is our first priority. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the apostles, when he said farewell to them before his ascension back to heaven, I want to be able to find this here. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power," Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." You know, loved ones, I want to get to the point. I want our single brothers and sisters to realize we need to serve the Lord and you can serve the Lord. Don't wait for someone to give you an assignment. Pray and ask God to show you what you are to do for him. Notice this progression here. The Lord Jesus is investing these apostles of his with this mighty responsibility to take the gospel throughout the world, and they did. You read some of the Christian history, you'll see India, Africa, they spread quite far, these 11 men, and then the 12th was replaced. But he says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," that's home, that's where they were, in Jerusalem, when they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, "then in Judea," which is where they were all from, "then in Samaria, then unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, our responsibilities always begin first at home. If we cannot be responsible with that which is closest to us, that which is within our reach, who would trust us to send us someplace else? You don't need to buy a plane ticket to serve the Lord. You need to pray and ask God to open our eyes. What can I do for you here? And he will show. There is more work. There has always been more work than workers. And if I can just, as I've gone on too long, if I can just, again, one more thing to share. As an encouragement, truly, I share my heart with you. Too many that I have spoken with who have come to shipwreck in even their spiritual lives, and those who have come close to shipwreck, they weren't busy for the Lord, if I could generalize, and I shouldn't generalize, so forgive me. The Bible says, be not overcome with evil, but here's the maxim, but overcome evil with good. Always has worked, always will work, the only thing that will work. If we can occupy ourselves, and I don't say this in judgment that you don't, but I say this because this is what's on my heart. Married or single, old or young, if we do not occupy ourselves with doing the work that God has called me to do and what he has called you to do, we will not be able to stand in the evil day. We will be overcome. We will not be overcomers. Beginning first in Jerusalem, in our own home, where our address is, this is where we begin to serve the Lord. And if we cannot serve him here, we cannot serve him anywhere. But beginning first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, the responsibilities may broaden throughout life. Then in Samaria, to the dreaded Samaritans, to those that we don't have much contact with, to those that we don't feel we see more differences than anything else, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. God uses his children. And in our singleness, if we are to be, as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, this exhortation, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What a most honorable thing for thousands of years to go by, and we speak about Ruth and her faithfulness. What an honorable thing that thousands of years later, we speak of Joseph, the man who refused to become bitter. What an honorable thing to think of men like David, who fought Goliath. But before he fought Goliath, he fought a lion and he fought a bear. Many of us are not ready for Goliath because we haven't dealt with the lions and the bears yet. But you see, beginning first in Jerusalem, it's incremental. We begin first at home where God has places. Those things that are within reach, this is where we serve the Lord. And if he that is faithful in little will be faithful in more. And if God can trust us, God helps us to grow in responsibilities. And you know, I just want to say one more word. You already know this, but just, I think it's on my heart to say it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Too often, we think of serving the Lord in terms of, we associate it with the idea of visibility. How visible is it, you know? The Bible says, those parts that are comely, those parts that we see with our eyes, the body parts that we see, that we think about. We don't think about all the things that happen inside the hand. We just see the hand and we think about the hand and the fingers and so forth. Those parts that we would put more honor on because they're more visible, God puts more honor on the invisible parts, those parts that are less comely. So when we look for opportunities to serve the Lord, of course, I hope we were that mature. We realize it's not a matter of visibility. It's not a matter of recognition. It's not a matter of somebody acknowledging what we have done. The Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. May God bless his word to our hearts.